Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the Wrestling Podcast, where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. And we're in a little different mode today. We're doing something we did a few weeks ago. I'm trying to get Mark's, trying to get you some slack on your mic cord here.
I wish you would give me a little slack. Cut me some slack.
Cut me some slack. Call me a bigot and everything on our last episode. Anyway, we're doing something. We're doing one of our what ifs, but we're playing out this whole scenario. By the way, if you haven't listened to our What If Hulk Hogan Hadn't Signed with WCW episode, it'll change your life.
Was it good? Because I felt like that it was not as good as I thought it was going to be. And I haven't listened to that part yet.
Well, here's the thing. I think we just, there were so many factors that we didn't really drill down on one. We chased a lot of rabbits, and it to me, that's why it was so significant, that it had such far-reaching consequences.
Yeah.
And I think, I would dare say that was the first time in human history somebody has sat down and said, oh my goodness, look at all these things.
First time in human history.
I'm not being hyperbolic or anything. Today, what we want to do, we want to take you back to 1988, the wrestling you grew up with. And in 1988, a deal was made between Ted Turner and the Crocketts for Turner Broadcasting to buy Jim Crockett Promotions, to essentially buy Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, to essentially buy the last remnant of the NWA. So what we want to do...
The last of the big NWA was the death of the...
What we want to do is say, what if in October of 1988, Ted Turner had not bought Crockett, but instead, what if in 1988, just 20 or 13 years before it eventually happened, what if Vince McMahon had bought Jim Crockett Promotions?
Now, you also have to, what if Vince McMahon was able to put aside his insecurities and book a card that includes everybody at their greatest and it makes everybody look good? Not, it was because I found a book at Books A Million. It just come out. They put out the 100 greatest matches.
Yeah, right.
And I flipped through it and I just read, what do they, and it was 100 WWE matches.
Right. Well, it says 100. I don't know that they consider that WWE history.
Huh? Yeah, but what I'm saying is they own everything now.
Yeah.
So.
But is it the book, the 100 Greatest Matches in WWE history? Or
no.
Okay, then you're...
I think the title is like WWE 100 Greatest Matches or something like that.
But
it's not like the 100 greatest matches in WWE history.
But when Crockett bought, this is on a much smaller scale. When Crockett bought the UWF, they did the same thing. They brought, so yes.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You have to assume when you're doing a what if that Vince McMahon could put aside wanting to make sure that you understood that Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage were bigger stars than Sting and Ric Flair.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, totally agree. So what if Vince bought Jim Crockett, and what if Vince could look at the entire talent roster and be objective?
Right.
And not look at it as that's my guy and that's his guy. That right. This is. So what we're going to do...
We're going to make the biggest money-making card that we can. And decide who goes over based on where we're going.
Right.
Not based on making sure you understand my guys are best.
So what we're going to do is we have the rosters from the NWA in October of 98. Excuse me, October of 88. And also the roster from WWF in 1988. We're gonna take We're going to write these two rosters down, and we're going to make cuts.
First. Yeah, we're going to list everybody.
We're going to list everybody.
Then we're going to make talent cuts, and then we're going to put a card together, and then we'll fill in the storylines.
Yes, yes. So we're we're going to book two what would be WrestleMania 5. If you're listening to this show, when you hear WrestleMania 5, WrestleMania, it's not like... I mean, the first couple of WrestleManias, everybody knows the main event. WrestleMania 5 was Hogan and Savage and just...
The mega powers.
Please tell me it was in that book, 100 Greatest Matches.
I don't remember.
Because that's remember.
I was not looking for every match. I was looking to see if it was just WWE.
Because that match made you feel something.
Oh, it was a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match, technically, but it was a good match because it made you feel something. Mm-hmm. Some other notable matches or unnotable matches from... Rick Rude beats the Ultimate Warrior for the Demolition Powers of Pain. That's pretty much all. Brainbusters defeated Strike Force. Hey. Now, so here we go. Let's start with the NWA roster.
Roster. All right. So JCP, not NWA.
Yeah, JCP. I'm just saying what it reads here. Okay. Hey, if you want to find, I'll put a link to this website. It's soli.org, S-O-L-I-E, and it has all the rosters for the years and goes by every month. I don't know how accurate it is, but for our intent purposes, accurate
they
enough.
They're going to have the big
star. Ric Flair.
Oh, of course.
Dusty Rhodes. Bobby Eaton.
Are you going to tell me Midnight Express? Are you going to list every member of the Midnight?
I'm just going down individually. I'm just going like they haven't. Ivan Koloff. Road Warriors. They list them as Hawk and Animal, but I said Nikita Koloff. Chris Champion, I don't even have a... Let's just save ourselves some time. So, yes, you're right.
I'm cutting him.
Go back up to Bobby Eaton and just put Midnight Express. I apologize, because next on my list is Sweet Stan Lane.
Standing up, got you breathing heavy.
What you talking about?
You going...
Am I breathing heavy?
Yes, you are. I can hear you all the way over here. I know a little bit.
I'm excited.
The physical exertion of standing has got you worn out.
Barry Windham.
Okay.
Speaking of being winded, Barry Windham. Lex Luger. Ray Candy. I don't even know who that is.
Let's go ahead and make a cut.
Commando number two.
Let's go ahead and cut him. We don't need to do all that.
Manny Fernandez.
We can always. Because I'm going to get that Manny Fernandez versus Tito Santana match in this time.
Kendall Windham. Kevin Sullivan. Mm-hmm. Mike Rotundo.
Are you going to give me the Varsity Club here?
Yeah, just the Varsity. Yeah, and then Steve Williams is after them. Sting. Ron Simmons. Did I give you? And then Rick Steiner was in the I forgot he was in the. This is the pre Steiner brother days.
Okay.
Al Perez.
Oh, so underrated.
Yes. Johnny Ace. The Fantastics. Russian Assassin number one and number two. Wasn't that just Powers of Pain?
Yep, I think so.
Well, just put the Powers of Pain then. Unless we want to go with a Russian gimmick.
It might not have been them. They were the ones that were on Nitro.
Oh, that's true. Later. Rip Morgan. I don't.
Not Rip Rogers, it's Rip Morgan.
Rip Morgan. One of my favorites. Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert.
Oh, of course.
I'm just going to tell you, we're going to have some tough cuts, I think. And then Bam Bam Bigelow.
That's it?
That's all for the NWA, yeah. This is obviously post-UWF buyout, which I think was 87. I think 87 it was the Starcade where they had come some of the interpromotional matches. So, all right, that's NWA. Now, let's go to WWF.
Jim Crockett Promotions.
Jim Crockett.
Not the NWA.
Jim Crockett Promotions.
WWF.
Andre the Giant. Hulk Hogan.
Savage.
Listen, don't get out of order. Tito Santana. Greg Valentine. Brutus Beefcake. British Bulldogs. And I'm going to go ahead and, true to life, make this cut, Steve Lombardi.
Well, yeah.
King Haku. Hillbilly Jim. Killer Bees. Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart. I would keep them. Well, we can do whatever. We're talking about that time. We're not talking about Bret Hart as we know him.
I don't know. Should we do? Do we put that restriction on ourselves?
Because we're talking about 1988. Vince has bought him, and Vince is like, I've got the Hart Foundation. Bret Hart's not Bret Hart yet.
Okay, I agree.
Lanny Poffo.
Huh. Hang on just a second. I had to get a swig of water.
For the working man.
Lanny Poffo.
Yes. Hercules. Hernandez. The Rougeos.
I can't spell that.
Yeah. Jake the Snake.
Oh, yeah. I did a little bit of that, didn't I?
Talking about me breathing heavy. Harley Race.
Now, with a Harley Race, we're going to assume in his prime.
Well, he can still wrestle.
Yeah.
Harley Race, Honky Tonk Man. What was the tag team with Paul Roma and Jim Powers? Power and Glory?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead
and make a cut.
Make a cut.
Just because I don't like the stuff Roma said about the people.
Coco Beware.
Now, you know what that B stands for, don't you?
No.
Buckwheat. That's what Jesse Ventura and Bobby Heenan would always say.
Right. So you're going to have to go back up here to Tito Santana. That's actually Strike Force. I forgot about that.
Of course.
Because Rick Martel is here. Dino, I want you to get that. Dino Bravo. We got Strike Force. No, Dino Bravo's down here.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. Outlaw Ron Bass.
It's easier for me to write up here than down here. And we got, it's not like we don't have plenty of room.
Dangerous Danny Davis.
I think we could probably make a cut.
Demolition. Yeah, just cut Danny Davis. Good gravy. Ken Patera. Now, do you want Akeem and Big Boss Man together or separate?
Either way.
Okay. Akeem and Big Boss Man.
With Slick.
I
know who I'm putting them against.
I bet you do. Now, this all doesn't, when we make our card, it doesn't have to be all inner promotion, does it?
No.
We can make whatever car we want. Rick Rude.
Yeah.
It says Sherry Martel,
yeah,
but
I think our rule here is not that it has to be a WWF versus Jim Crockett Promotions. However,
right.
This is what we're
trying to do.
The meat and potatoes will be, but there is, I would have to look and say, I don't know that there is a better big money match than Hogan and Savage. I don't know that I still wouldn't leave that as my main
event. In 1988.
In 88
and 89.
Know that there's not a bigger match.
Because they had been building toward that.
Right.
Ultimate Warrior. I will tell you this, had this purchase been made, I don't know that Warrior's getting that WrestleMania 6 spot.
Yeah, I don't think he will. Well, I don't know.
In Barry
Vince's
Horowitz.
Eyes, I don't know that there's anybody over here that's taken his spot with the exception of Ric Flair.
I don't disagree with you at all on that. Ted DiBiase and Virgil. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I'm going to go ahead and cut Cowboy Scott Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Houston, cut him.
I think he was fairly underrated.
Bad News Brown.
He's good.
The Rockers.
I mean, already, I don't know how many more you have to go. But look at how many people you have in WWF versus the core of the Jim Crockett Promotions.
So check this out. I was doing some research because we're going to do a show, What If Hogan Had Stayed in the AWA?
Uh-huh.
Prior to Hogan signing with WWF in late 83, WWF had 19 wrestlers on their roster.
Really?
Late 83, 19 wrestlers. And then it didn't take long. Because going national, they were running multiple tours at the same time.
You have to remember, they had an A, B, and a C show going.
So now you got Powers of Pain. So they were in WWE at this time. WWF, everybody knows what I'm talking about.
They were not the Russian Assassins 1 and 2. Like, so they were like the Super Assassins or something.
Right.
Like Robert Parker later on.
Kurt Hennig.
Oh, yeah.
Terry Taylor.
Red Rooster.
Yeah. Owen Hart, the Blue Blazer.
So he was the Blue Blazer.
He's the Blue Blazer, yeah. And the Brain Busters, Arn and Tully.
Oh, man.
So let's just. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So let's just. So. 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22, 24, 25, 26, 27. So JCP 27 and WWE about twice that.
Yeah.
So Mark, for the new listener out there, if you're running a national wrestling company in 1988, how many wrestlers do you need to stay viable financially, to put on a good quality product?
I mean, if I'm Vince, you see it, because he was making a ton of money back then.
Yeah.
So you see how many he needed to run those three shows.
So I'm thinking, I mean, how do we do? I mean, we're going to have to cut some people.
Yeah, I'm looking. Okay, who am I going to cut? Guys who are a little older, guys who are maybe not drawing so much. Because now I have a list of guys who are drawing from two companies. Some guys, so I may want to get rid of some older guys and some guys who are.
So let's do.
Maybe I'm not cutting anybody. Maybe I'm still using, and just because I see his name, and I got all the respect in the world for
him.
But at this age, Ivan Koloff.
I'm
looking at Ivan and saying, well, can I still use Ivan on TV to put over
Right.
Ken
Patera.
Ken Patera. Can I still? Right. That's a good one. So maybe I don't have to cut any of these. I think we cut the guys that we would cut, but maybe Ivan Koloff's not going to make it onto this show.
Right. Ivan Koloff may not be. So over here on the, we got, listen, folks, our operation has expanded. We now have two dry race boards. Right.
Where we are going to.
Matter of fact.
Maybe we shouldn't do people in there. Maybe we shouldn't say Harley Race is in his prime.
This show, this what if, is time specific. Mm-hmm. It is late 88, early 89. So I think you have to take people as who they were. Because we're asking what would Vince do, and what would Vince do depends on, I got a, you know, 40-something-year-old Harley Race rather than a 30-something, early 30s.
And we're not necessarily doing dream matches here.
No.
We're doing a card that is going to make the most money.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say that. So I would say we're going to use this new dry race board. We're going to rebook WrestleMania 5 using both of these, using everybody we got. Mm-hmm. And not everybody's going to make it, but we're going to rebook WrestleMania 5 and then work back from there and tell you the program. I think you said something earlier. I wholeheartedly agree with it. And that is the main event of WrestleMania 5, no matter what Vince did, it's got to be Hogan and Savage.
I absolutely agree. I mean, it's a big match that everybody remembers, a great match. It drew money. So the main event is still Hogan.
Because at that time, you've got Flair is the champion and Savage is the champion. And I definitely feel like that's what Vince would have done.
So now, are we keeping, here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Are we keeping the Jim Crockett Promotions? Is Ric Flair still their champion? Defending. Vince, or is he now?
No, I think
not a champion.
I think they have bought him, and that company is closed, and they're coming in, and there's one set of titles,
okay.
And that is for the WWF title right there. That match, uh-huh. Hogan Savage,
yeah.
And I think you've got same titles they had. You got the heavyweight title, the Intercontinental title, and the tag titles.
Okay, so is Flair my Intercontinental champion? Or is that now beneath him to
well,
be the IC champ?
You got.
Or do I make him going for the tag team?
At the time, if I'm not mistaken, SummerSlam 88 was Ultimate Warrior beats the Honky Tonk Man,
mm-hmm.
for the Intercontinental title. So when we're in this time frame, they're leading up to Rick Rude and Ultimate Warrior for the Intercontinental title.
Okay. I'm scrapping that.
No, absolutely. Totally agree.
Because I want to put Sting and the Ultimate Warrior back together as the Blade Runner.
Okay.
Because I think that's a big money match. And I'm putting them against the Legion of Doom for the tag team title.
LOD is heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got Sting and the Ultimate Warrior. So the Blade Runners versus LOD. LOD's got the titles, and the Blade Runners are chasing them.
Yeah.
That's going to be my semi-main tag.
I like it.
Because it's an match we never...
No, we never got that. We never got a big money match with Sting and Ultimate Warrior.
No, they teamed up on Nitro one time.
Right.
But, I mean, it was...
And I marked out for it, too.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
And that was always like the fantasy matches you would see. That was always a big one. So we can take LOD.
Sting. And Ultimate Warrior right here.
Ultimate Warrior. We take off. Hogan and Savage come off the board.
We're trying to do the biggest money-making card that we can.
What are we going with? 8 or 10 matches?
Well, I'm looking at this. WrestleMania 5, Mark, had 14 matches.
Okay.
I
want to give everybody enough time, though.
Right.
They had 14 matches.
14 matches.
Seen it, how quick they were.
Well, the Red Rooster, one of those was the Red Rooster defeated Bobby Heenan in 30 seconds. So
right.
14 matches in one. Two matches over
one that's 3 minutes.
Well, two matches over 10 minutes, and one of them is exactly 10 minutes, and that was Brutus Beefcake and Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
The only other match on this card that went over 10 minutes was Hogan and Savage.
Yeah, because you got Duggan and Bad News Brown 3 minutes.
Yeah,
Bravo and Ronnie Garvin. You didn't say Ronnie Garvin.
See, he wasn't signed yet.
Not that I was.
He's in the AWA at that point. In 88, when the company is bought in 88,
okay,
he's in the AWA. So here's the thing. When people talk about it and be like, boy, wrestling ain't what it used to be, I'm telling you, I'm looking at this, and outside of Hogan and Savage, what have you got?
Yeah.
You got a bunch of 3-minute matches. And I think people, when we get into WrestleMania in this day and age, and we get a 3 or 4 minute match, we're thinking, back when wrestling was good. Back when wrestling was good, Mark.
I think you got the wrong voice for the when wrestling was good crowd.
when wrestling was good. I don't know what voice I'm trying to do. So I just was peeking at the card because I wanted to see who Andre.
Wrestling was good.
My mama said wrestling was good. I was looking to see who Andre wrestled because at that time he was in the main event at SummerSlam in 88. He wrestled Jake Roberts at WrestleMania 5. Is Andre an attraction that we want to find somebody? I'm saying at WrestleMania 5 in 1988, is Dusty Rhodes versus Andre the Giant a money match?
You know, it may be. Is Andre versus Bam Bam Bigelow? Andre didn't like Bam Bam Bigelow.
Really?
I don't think so. So maybe not a good match. I don't know. I mean, let's put a pin in that and see if we find something for him.
Yeah, just
it's
put
amazing
a.
Amazing that you would think. Do I need to find a spot for Andre? You would think. Let's circle him. We'll find something for him. We're going to find something for Flair.
Right,
I think Flair versus Jake Roberts is a good match.
Mm. Well, we still got to have our Intercontinental title match.
Mm-hmm. I'm just talking.
Flair. No. Yeah.
Do you do Flair and Jake Roberts, or do you do Flair and the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, a heel versus heel? Maybe Flair is a babyface now against the Million Dollar Man, because it'd be a good match.
Are we doing anything to bring the Horsemen back together? Are we?
You know,
at this point in WWE, WWF, you've got the Heenan family, but other than that, there's no factions.
So maybe Bobby Heenan realizes, wow, I've got Ric Flair and Barry Windham. I bring the Horsemen back to WWF.
Yeah.
And who are they going to face? Who do the Horsemen face?
Yeah.
In a 4-on-4 match.
Like, who have they been feuding with that at WrestleMania 5
if we're in the middle of it, they're going to feud with Dusty.
Yeah.
Who is Dusty recruiting to help him?
Yeah. And to be honest, I'm looking at this WWF side of who is Dusty. Because to me, I've seen the Horsemen versus everybody on this Jim Crockett list.
Yes.
I'm looking at this list on this side. Who is Dusty Rhodes recruiting to take on the Horsemen?
Jake Roberts, Harley Race,
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
You know, Strikeforce, Mr. Perfect. I don't think Mr. Perfect's going babyface.
No,
but we definitely are in agreement. The Horsemen. Of Flair, Arn,
Tully and Barry
with Heenan as their manager.
What about Heenan and JJ? JJ's still around.
But you're only going to have one manager.
Correct.
So maybe JJ has changed alliances.
So I'm going to throw some names out to you, okay? Dusty.
Of course we got Dusty.
Dusty, you know? Yeah. And I'm going to say Hacksaw Duggan.
See, I think Dusty recruits Andre.
But I agree. I totally agree. But here's two. I'm looking at Ron Simmons. I'm looking at who are some new. Dusty's going to try to get the biggest, strongest. I can hear the promo. This isn't a match. This is a street fight. This is a war.
Right.
And he is looking for. And whereas I would see, man, Ron Simmons, that's a good. And Vince is going to put in Dino Bravo.
Right.
But I don't want Dino Bravo.
I still.
You tell.
I think Jake Roberts.
But what, you know what? You're right. And Jake is a face at this time.
Right, and he's evil. And he's
there you go.
And that's what I need. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
He's putting together an all-star team.
Yeah.
Nikita. Are Dusty and Nikita partners at this point? Why wouldn't he still have Nikita as his partner?
When did Nikita turn heel? Had he turned heel in 88?
Yeah.
At the Starrcade. Let me.
That's right.
You know what? Nikita is not on this Starrcade 88 card.
Well, but we're not using the Starrcade 88
card. No, I know. I know. I'm just saying he got injured at some point in there.
He did.
So I don't know if he's heel or.
It doesn't matter.
So if you want Nikita, I'm totally cool with that. It gives you two JCP and two WWF guys.
I'm just looking, if there's already an existing relationship, why wouldn't. Why wouldn't
right.
use Nikita as his partner?
Right. Yeah.
We're going to go back over the card so everybody can.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read it again. We got to have a little suspense.
Yeah. So now we got our fourth match, and this will be. I'll say, let's throw our Intercontinental title.
Okay. So who do we want to put? At the time, was Warrior.
Warrior was your Intercontinental champion.
So we're going to assume that they got the belt off of him and put it on Rick Rude, maybe?
Yeah, Rick Rude was the became champion at WrestleMania 5. But I got no problem finding Rick Rude somebody to fight
so we're
here.
We're definitely.
You know me, man. I love Rick Rude, dude.
I do, too. So Rick Rude, where's he at?
Right here.
Mr. Perfect. I mean, Lex Luger. I'm just going to throw the names out that I think he'd match up with. Lex Luger.
I think that's you. Did Lex Luger and Rick Rude ever have a match?
I'm sure. I don't know, though. But let's go with it.
I was thinking Mr. Perfect, too. But when you say Lex Luger, we're talking. You think about the era we're at. That's
the match.
That's the match.
I mean, it really is.
Because Vince, listen, okay, we are trying to. Vince doesn't do the heel versus heel. He just doesn't.
Mr. Perfect and Al Perez. Because Al Perez is like one of those guys that had all this potential.
He did.
And almost, he was.
He could have been Mr. Like, I can see a whole.
I can see Al Perez showing up and playing the I can do everything you can do just as good as you.
Yeah, I can see if Mr. Perfect. Like, I can see vignettes of them bowling together.
Yeah.
And both getting a 300.
Uh-huh.
And, like, hey, there ain't but one. And I would do. Al Perez. What's the stipulation you could put? On what's going to prove who the better wrestler is? 2 out of 3 falls, 15, 30 minute time. I mean, what do you do?
I think a 30 minute Iron Man.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
with the winner earning the right to call himself Mr. Person.
I like it. I like it. So, all fans, right. If you're so listening.
Here we are again.
So, we had some technical difficulties where literally the computer said system overload.
Too much excellence.
So, as soon as we finished.
I think we were getting the computer all hot and bothered.
We really were. So, we started recording again to tell you the three matches we had booked after Al Perez versus Mr. Perfect in an Iron Man match. And then some people came down to the basement. Looking for some stuff, yeah. And we had to take care of that. So this is take two.
They wanted to play pool on the table that I used to sleep under.
That's right. That is impossible to play pool on because all the sides have fallen. So, Mark, we did book three great matches.
We did.
Tell the fans what they are.
We decided that the Twin Towers, and if you don't know, that's Big Boss Man and Akeem with their manager, the good Reverend Slick.
Yes.
Versus the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette, because we'll finally get to see the Midnight Express play the role of the Rock and Roll Express in that match with Jim Cornette showing up and assuming that the friendship between him and Big Bubba Rogers still existed, and the Big Boss Man acting as though he had no idea what Jim Cornette was talking about. What are you talking about? I'm in a prison guard. So that, and then because I always need a chop and meat match on every card where it's just two big brawlers who beat the crap out of each other, and it's stiff and it's like 7 minutes long because that's as much as they could go. Dr. Death Steve Williams versus Haku, two of the guys, when you hear about the toughest guys in the history of wrestling, two guys whose names are always pretty close. One of them, Haku, always. At the top of the list, Steve Williams is always in the discussion.
Yeah,
and then
that's going to be a double DQ, right? I mean,
that's just
there's
just,
no finish.
Yeah, there's no finish to that. And then I was thinking because we got for the Blade Runners versus Legion of Doom is for the title, but we needed a number one contenders match to decide who gets a shot. So we decided that we would have a four-team elimination match.
Yeah,
where when you got pinned, your team was out. With the Hart Foundation versus the British Bulldogs versus the Fantastics versus the Rockers.
Yes.
Just because, why not?
Why not?
You know, because you're trying to get everybody on the card. And then we were trying to decide what to do with Kevin Sullivan versus and Eddie Gilbert.
Right.
And Ted DiBiase and Hacksaw Duggan and Harley Race.
Yeah.
And so many other guys. Heath is lobbying, of course, to get Rick Martel on the card.
I did mention Strikeforce. But you know, there's so many. I mean, we got so much talent. Demolition's still in here. Honky Tonk Man.
Manny Fernandez. Rick Steiner.
Yeah, Rick Steiner. Ron
Bam Bam
Simmons.
Bigelow.
Yeah. Eddie Gill. I mean, just a lot of, Bad News Brown. Just a lot of great.
I think you just do Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert versus Honky Tonk Man. It's that old school Memphis wrestling match.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe that's the way you go with that.
And you're not, like you said before, we're not making, this is not a dream card of the greatest match you've ever seen. You're just booking, we're trying to book this company.
You're building just a card.
And on a wrestling card, every match is not prime rib.
No.
To me.
When you go out to eat, you got to get you a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You got to get your tea and your water. You might get yourself an appetizer, you get you a salad, maybe some soup, then the main dish, then the dessert.
And that Steve Williams Haku match is definitely your mashed potatoes.
Absolutely, man.
Whereas your Eddie Gilbert and Honky Tonk Man.
That's your fried pickles.
That's your fried pickles. That's your side salad. I'd like Eddie Gilbert and Honky Tonk Man. And you got Jimmy Hart playing into that. And you could
True.
All right, so let me throw this out at you, okay? Because WrestleMania, you're trying to get as many people on the card as possible.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to have a battle royal, okay?
Why not?
I just don't want to have a battle royal. That's been done, okay?
Okay.
I want this match. I'm going to book
our 10th match.
No. Okay. Eddie Gilbert and Honky Tonk Man. I want that match to be that Eddie Gilbert's been trying to get his hands on Honky Tonk Man, and Honky Tonk Man keeps running, and I'm going to have me a lumberjack match, and all these guys that I'm not able to get on the card We're going to give them a spot.
Okay.
And they're going to be the Lumberjacks on that match.
So let's pick our – we're going to pick 10 Lumberjacks, and then we're going to run back down the car.
Well, we got one more match.
Okay, so
let's do that.
Let's do that match, and then we'll pick our 10 Lumberjacks.
Because I think we're going to have an all-star crew of Lumberjacks.
Absolutely.
That's going to break down into a big old fight.
Yeah.
So I would. So let me say this, okay? You could use the Lumberjack situation because I'm looking at
two teams.
And I got
another idea that I want to.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I'm seeing two teams here, Demolition and Powers of Pain. We just do not have room for them on our card.
No, unfortunately.
We got room for them to be Lumberjacks on opposite sides of the ring to give them a minute during this card that there is going to be a collision to say to you, hey, down the road.
Down the road, these guys. Before we come up with the last match.
Yeah.
I'm on Tarantino and go back to the beginning where we started. We got this Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
Flair, Arn, Tully, Barry, Bob Hill. We're not doing a War Games match because, quite frankly, we do War Games matches every time.
Right.
Dusty, Andre, Jake Roberts, Nikita on the other side.
Yeah.
I think Jack Tunney comes out and says, you know what? This has got the potential to be one of the most violent matches in history.
Yeah.
These guys, you talking about eight guys who hate each other's guts.
Yes.
We need somebody that can keep control.
Yes.
We need a special guest referee.
Uh-huh.
We need a real tough guy. And when I look back and I think, who can control these eight men that these eight men not only will listen to, but these eight men will respect the authority. And the only person that I see on that page is Harley Race as my special referee for that match. And that way I get Harley Race on my card too.
Mark. That is absolutely. And Harley, here's the great thing. He's as equally likely to get in a shoving match with Flair as he is with that. And I can definitely see him doing the old Tommy Young spot where he pushes Flair and Flair takes the bump.
And you can see he's not going to be afraid to stand up to any of those eight men, put them back in place. He's had issues with Flair, Dusty, Andre.
If you've not, you know, go YouTube. Harley Race slammed Andre the Giant.
So he hates everybody equally. And that is the story that I would tell with Harley.
Yeah.
Is, I hate everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would have that be the thing. I don't like any of you. Yeah. I'm not friend. I don't care who wins.
Because you
this
would
match.
Try where Bobby the Brain's like, hey, you know, because Harley Race is part of the family.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Harley. He's like, let me tell you. I'm not gonna take the money.
All right, that's brilliant.
That's brilliant. One more match.
Okay, so when I look at names, I'm seeing Rick Steiner jumps out at me. Kevin Sullivan jumps out at me on the JCP side. Here's the names that jump out at me that I would consider: Kevin Sullivan, Ron Simmons, Rick Steiner, and Bam Bam Bigelow. Over here, the names that would jump out at me. Whew. We got him. We got Bad News Brown, maybe.
We got Honky Tonk Man. You mark him in it.
Yeah, he's in a match.
Yeah,
I'm circling who we can use here. We got the Blue Blazer that we could use, Owen Hart. Million Dollar Man.
What about? Because I know you like, I think. Because as I look at this card, okay, we have a tag team match where you got the big heels versus the little guys, Twin Towers, Midnight Express. What if we got a match, the big baby face versus not necessarily a small guy, and go Bam Bam Bigelow and Ted DiBiase in a match?
Okay, I can go with that.
I think Ted DiBiase could sell I just think that'd be a good match. That's just my personal opinion.
I agree with you. I don't disagree with that.
So then you've got the Varsity Club who are your Lumberjacks, and you can start them off on a program, whether it's Strike Force or Coco, anybody. Listen, yeah. So we're looking for how many lumberjacks do you normally have? You want four on each side. So 16
lumberjacks.
Your math is better than mine.
Surprising.
I was
going to
say 12. Okay. So you got Powers of Pain, Demolition.
Okay, that's two. That's four. Powers of Pain, Demolition, Hacksaw.
I would put the Blue Blazer on there just because he's going to do a flip off the top rope.
Take everybody out. That's five.
The Varsity Club, which is Sullivan, Rotundo, and Steiner. So there's three. Ivan Koloff's got to be out there. Yeah. Manny Fernandez and Ivan Koloff can
Strike Force is out there.
Hacksaw Duggan's
out there. Coco Beware's out there.
Yeah.
Hillbilly Jim is out there.
One more.
Did we say Rick Martel?
Did you say Strike Force?
I don't know.
I'd go Hercules Hernandez.
Okay. And we'll put Strike Force out there, too, in case we didn't. It doesn't matter how many you have.
Right.
So there's our Lumberjacks for our Honky Tonk Man versus Eddie Gilbert match. Starting out, we got Bam Bam Bigelow. Or do we start with Bam Bam versus?
No, let's look at the card. I think...
So building from the ground up, I would come out first of all hot always is with Hart Foundation,
Bulldogs, absolutely agree with
the Rockers. So that'll be our first match, and that's when I would do Bam Bam and Million Dollar Man next. I would have that match be next.
Yes.
Maybe we don't need to do single. Single tag. Maybe we need to do a couple of tag team matches in a row.
I do think you've got your top three matches, and I think you leave those.
And I think you put Honky Tonk Man versus Eddie Gilbert maybe in between.
No, that's good. That's good.
Then we just go ahead and do the Twin Towers and the Midnight Express.
Are you renumbering these while you're doing it?
Nah, I'm just marking them off. I don't know. I mean, you know, come on here.
Okay.
Let me see the thing. I'll renumber.
Just write the new number over here. Just write the new number
okay,
over here.
Okay, so what's first? The British Bulldogs, that's number one.
Yeah.
Number
two. And then two's Bam Bam and Million Dollar Man.
Okay.
What'd you say number three was?
I didn't.
You know this is going to be number 10.
Right.
Hogan Savage. Then this is going to be number 9.
Right.
Then you said... Honky Tonk Man and Eddie Gilbert's a good throw-in match at number 8.
That's number 8.
Then
this is my middle-of-the-card main event.
Yeah, so would you make that like 6 or 7?
Yeah, I would put it down a little lower just because I want it to be a main event. But, halfway through the show, you kind of have that main event.
So Rude and Luger could be match number 7.
Yeah.
And then before that, you could... all right, so would you come out of, if you're breaking it up 5 and 5, is your last match of the first five the Iron Man, or is that the first match of your second?
Yeah, that's the first match of my second.
All right, so then this is match number 6, and then the Four Horsemen match is match number 5.
So before that, I want the Twin Towers versus the Midnight Express.
Yeah, and then Steve Williams and Haku.
Wait.
I think that works because you're starting out fast and furious with this tag team. You got a contrast of styles at number 2. So the first match of the card, Hart Foundation versus British Bulldogs versus Fantastics versus the Rockers for the number 1 contendership to the tag team titles. Then you got match number 2.
Bam Bam Bigelow versus the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
So like I said, that's a contrast of styles. Leading into match number 3, not a contrast of styles.
Slot bubble. Snot bubble wrestling. Steve Williams versus Haku.
Then a great Twin Towers versus Midnight Express. Then you end the first half of your card with dream match. Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Barry Windham with Bobby the Brain Heenan versus Dusty Rhodes, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Nikita Koloff. with guest referee Harley Race. Then you got
Al Perez versus Mr. Perfect in a 30-minute Iron Man match, with the winner earning the right to call himself the real Mr. Perfect.
Then you got an Intercontinental title match.
Like, I would even have these guys start off as a tag team.
No. No, I would just have them show up and
what I'm saying is,
oh, you would or you wouldn't?
To start with, the way this all starts is Al Perez shows up and they act like friends.
Yeah.
Maybe not a tag team, but they're associates of one another, mm-hmm. and they act like they're friends. And we have the vignettes like you're talking about with them bowling and both of them getting 300s and yeah. just every both of them playing darts and neither one of them can win. And it bubbling over to where you find out the compliments are not real.
Yeah.
The you're so great thing is not – everything's a backhanded compliment between the two of them.
I could see them doing a program on TV where Mr. Perfect beats Steve Lombardi in 4 minutes. And Al Perez beats him in 3 minutes and 58
right.
seconds.
And it just becomes it. Right.
That's how it's done.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah, just that kind of thing going on up to where it finally just like somebody like Mr. Perfect, we'll say, would be the heel.
Yeah.
He just finally gets mad and waffles him in the back of the head because yeah. he's tired of listening to it.
Then you got the Intercontinental title, Rick Rude versus Lex Luger.
And I think that follows a lot of the same thing you did with the Warrior over who's got the better physique. I mean, there's two guys posing the total. Who are you calling yourself, the total package?
Yeah.
I'm the total, but look at me. You know what I mean?
So good. Then you got the Honky Tonk Man versus Eddie Gilbert.
And that's your lumberjack match. We listed all those guys out.
And that is just a cluster. Then you got Blade Runners versus the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom. And then your main event,
Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage, as it always should be.
For the title. So, we didn't say this. Let's.
These guys in their prime.
All these prime. These guys in their prime of 1988. So, let's book the card. Like, who would. And I think when you book a card, correct me if I'm wrong. When I look at a card and I'm trying to book, I'm trying to book for emotion. And so. You have to excuse my gas.
I didn't even notice.
Well, you will.
I've been excusing your hot air for long enough. I can excuse your gas for a few minutes.
You know what? I think anybody that would just automatically say that somebody talking has full of hot air is a bigot. But I would start with the main event and how you're sending them home. Because the main event is the most important match. That's why it's called a main event.
Right, right.
Everything falls off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Hogan versus Savage, do I even need to ask,
nah,
Mark, who's winning
that?
I think
Hogan wins. I think nothing about that program changes.
Yeah, I agree.
The build
it's
to
the same
it,
match.
Everything is the same match. Everything stays the same. There's no change in that. I think the Blade Runners win the title from the Road Warriors because they're the new – we're christening these guys are the new Road Warriors.
Right.
I mean, so – but from that, then I have to jump down – to the four-way Hart Foundation, British Bulldog, Fantastic, and Rockers match. Like, because they're connected. Because
yes, that's right. That's right.
This is a number one contender. So what I then look at, if I got the Blade Runners, who's the Blade Runners going to have the best match with?
Yeah.
And I would contend that the Fantastics would come in last in that.
Okay.
In that conversation. And looking at the strengths and the weaknesses of the Blade Runners, I can see the Rockers flying around for them, but the Rockers are baby faces.
Yeah.
I could see the British Bulldogs having good matches with them, but they're baby faces. I have the Hart Foundation going over to face the Blade Runners down the line just because I think the Hart Foundation will are heels. And this is an era when it was baby faces versus heels.
Totally agree.
And you won't. And the Hart Foundation's going to make the Blade Runners look good. As great as I think the Rockers would. I think the Rockers would be the better team to face the Blade Runners.
I agree.
But they're baby faces. I want a heel team to offer a threat to the Blade Runners. So then I would put the Rockers with the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, that's a good
You
one.
Know,
that'd
I would kind of
program.
Stemming off from that, I would have them two face each other. Going forward.
And I could see teasing teasing a Blade Runners British Bulldogs encounter. Like you just tease it, and then, you know, if you finally get to that, I think you could. It'd be money.
And I think what I would do there, I would then pair the British Bulldogs off against the going forward.
Yeah,
I would pair the British Bulldogs up with the Midnight Express.
Yeah,
because I think they would have really good teams, and I would have the Twin Towers, and that's why I'm putting the Twin Towers over in this match. Yeah.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
So I would have the Twin Towers go over the Midnight Express because I want to build them up strong so that the Blade Runners can beat the Twin Towers.
Right.
Just like on a Saturday night's main event.
Yeah.
In between the match with the Hart Foundation, I need the Twin Towers to beat up on them and kind of have a TV program leading to my SummerSlam tag team match.
Dude, I've said it before and I say it again. The things that you're thinking about, I just don't think these conversations are happening.
It's not just the match. It's what happens after the match.
Right.
Where do you go? Anybody can say, I'm putting the Blade Runners against the Road Warriors because it's cool. I'm trying to think, what do the Road Warriors do next?
Yeah.
They face off with the Rockers. What do the Blade Runners do next? Well, they got the Hart Foundation, but I need to build the Blade Runners up. And even more than beating Legion of Doom, I want them to prove how dominant they are by beating the Twin Towers on Saturday night's main event.
And then they can also beat Demolition. They can also beat Powers of Pain.
Right.
They can beat the Varsity Club. You have so many great tag. They can beat Goodnight Russian Assassins.
Right. I mean, you just feed them those guys to build them up huge, while at the same time you got the Hart Foundation. You know, they're facing the Fantastics again. You put them two together, so the Hart Foundation and the Fantastics, and you get the Hart Foundation over his big heels. You can put the Hart Foundation against any of these guys.
This is what would happen today. This is your pay-per-view on Sunday. Blade Runners win the belts. Hart Foundation become number one contenders. And then Monday night on Raw, Hart Foundation versus Blade Runners with no build.
Right, with no build to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just not for that. I don't know where we're at here. Steve Williams and Haku's an easy story. I don't like you. You don't like me. Let's fight about it.
Double DQ.
Yeah.
Rick Rude and Lex Luger for the title. Who you got going on?
Rick Rude.
I think you got to go Rick Rude. Your other two titles are baby faces.
And that's because after the Horsemen and guys wrestle each other, I still got to have something for Luger to do. And I got to have something for Rick. I got to have some contenders for Rick Rude. And a lot of them, like, I'll be honest with you, I'm probably putting Rick Rude with Barry Windham. I'm gonna feud Barry Windham and Rick Rude after this.
You do heel versus heel?
Who's to say Barry's going to be a heel at that point?
Right, that's true. I mean, you could do Rick Rude and Jake Roberts. That was a great feud.
Yeah.
Rick Rude and Nikita Koloff is a feud
we
didn't get.
Yeah, that's a good feud. Heck, Rick Rude and Dusty Rhodes. You could do Rick saying,
you fat,
out of shape, spindly-legged old man.
Yeah.
And Dusty and Rick. That's where I'm going from this. I like that better. I'm putting Dusty Rhodes and Rick Rude together. And because Rick Rude can just bump all over the place for Dusty Rhodes.
And Dusty's not winning the belt.
It's just something for Dusty to do.
Because
Dusty can win the feud and not win the belt.
That's right. That's right.
He can win the feud by embarrassing Rick Rude and covering him in mustard and ketchup and hot dogs and dumping food. You know what I mean? You can have somebody win a feud.
Giving him a swirly in a toilet.
Right. He can win the war.
Right.
And Rick Rude still retain the title.
Yeah. Al Perez, Mr. Perfect, Iron Man match. I think it goes down the wire, but I think Curt Hennig.
Yeah, Mr. Perfect retains the title. And then you can move Al Perez on to Lex Luger. You could put Al Perez and Lex Luger in a match against each other. I mean, you can put Al Perez against Eddie Gilbert. You can put him against Bam Bam Bigelow, Ted DiBiase. You can do anything with Al Perez. And Mr. Perfect can then, Mr. Perfect's a contender for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Obviously. Heck, maybe you put Mr. Perfect against Flair.
Yeah.
You know, something.
Or is the Brain still – you could – it's just so many options. Who did we say won between Honky Tonk Man and Eddie Gilbert?
We didn't. That's your match. I always let you book the opening match.
That's the eighth match. That's near the end.
I know. I was just kidding. Shut up. But that's your match. Who you think goes over?
Well, I'm looking at... We just had Rude win the belt, and I'm getting ready to have two faces.
I think Eddie Gilbert gets disqualified for throwing a fireball at the honky-tonk man.
I think Eddie Gilbert gets disqualified because he gets caught holding the megaphone. And post-match, throws a fireball.
There you go.
And you've had all this... Can you get disqualified in a lumberjack match, though? I forgot it was a lumberjack match.
I think you can. I don't see why not.
We can do whatever we want to.
That's right. We're booking this thing.
We're booking it.
You can have it turn into a no contest when everybody comes in the ring.
That's right. The key is Eddie Gilbert's throwing a fireball.
Right. That's what this is all about, Eddie Gilbert throwing a fireball.
Yes. And he is going to hit Honky Tonk Man with a fireball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've been building on.
Right.
Honky Tonk Man's going to get his.
Because before this, Honky Tonk Man has broken several guitars over his head.
Right. And he's going to set the guitar on fire. So the Horseman versus...
He's going to set the guitar on fire and hit the Honky Tonk Man over the head with a flaming guitar.
Which way? I am so...
We're all over the place.
We were going backwards. I think we're at number five now.
Yeah.
Four Horsemen, Flair Iron, Turley. Against Dusty Andre, Jake Roberts, and Nikita Koloff. How you booking this match?
I got the Horsemen going over because they got to be a strong. I mean, I know that it ain't what, but you've already got Hogan winning the belt.
I agree.
You know, and you got to have something to come back to the. And I know Dusty ain't going to like it, but Dusty ain't booking this thing anymore. Yeah. And it's time for the Horsemen to get a win.
The Horsemen get the win, and it's something underhanded that Harley Race legitimately misses as the referee. And you come out of this, Harley and Andre. Andre and Harley Race with a nice program, I think you could do.
Yeah, and I mean, you can then pair. Man, we forgot. You got Arn and Tully in the running for the tag team title.
Right.
You know what I mean? You add them into that. You got Flair and Dusty can branch off and continue their feud.
Maybe even though the Hart Foundation coming out of this, they're number one contenders, eventually the belts are going on Arn and Tully.
Right. Right.
Because to me, okay, let's just be honest. The Blade Runners are going to be limited.
Yeah, this is about a big, cool moment. So I've already,
right,
you know what I mean? This is about the Blade Runners being, to me, at some point, Sting and Ultimate Warrior are feuding with each other. I'm just starting the feud here.
Let me tell you, we mentioned earlier, maybe even before we started recording, that the way we're building, with this purchase, Vince buying Jim Crockett Promotions, Ultimate Warrior is no longer going to be slated. He's not the Intercontinental type champion at this point. He's not slated for that spot at Mania 6. I think Mania 6, it's Sting versus Warrior, not necessarily for the title, but Sting versus the Ultimate Warrior in some sort of
match. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a year-long deal where the two of these finally break up with Sting being the heel,
yeah,
Ultimate Warrior being the babyface. And then you get Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You just use Sting to get him there. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. And because you can have Sting do something with maybe Mr. Perfect. You can put Sting with maybe Brett. They've gone off. The Hart Foundation have broken up at this point. You put Sting with Bret Hart as a facing each other somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
And then you build to another match where Sting beats the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, I'm thinking about building my company around Sting and the Ultimate Warrior. I'm assuming that Ultimate Warrior will do business. There again, this is my what if.
Yeah.
And not only that, we're going to assume that they can have good matches with each other. I think they could in real life.
So, plus, okay, after WrestleMania 6, the title's on Warrior, and business slips a little bit until they got to bring Hogan back. However, I think under this scenario, there's no competition.
Yeah.
So I don't think you don't have to worry about your business slipping because you don't. There's nobody competing against you.
Exactly.
On national stage.
Yeah, exactly.
We did Steve Williams and Haku. Bam.
Yeah. Did we do Bam Bam versus
You said Twin Towers are going over the Midnight Express.
Yeah.
Steve Williams and Haku's a double DQ. The only match we haven't talked about is Bam Bam Bigelow and Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase.
And I put Ted DiBiase over.
Okay.
Because you got to have some heels going over, and I can do more with Ted DiBiase than I can with Bam Bam Bigelow.
And you can have him, Virgil, involved. I mean, you can.
Yeah, I mean, I can put Ted DiBiase. You take any of these other matches, I can plug Ted DiBiase into any one of them. He can have a good match with anybody. So I need to keep him strong. So he needs the win more than Bam
and Bam.
Because Bam's going to be over because he's got tattoos on his head. And he's over. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think there's this misconception in wrestling, and I don't know why, that the only way to get over is to win.
Yeah.
The Horsemen hardly ever won.
Right.
I mean, Flair's career record would be under 500. If you count disqualifications and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a possibility here. Had Vince done this, he could have been running 4 shows a night. He could have had A, B, C, and D show that could have sold out anywhere, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, because you just start thinking about, you break off your top 4 matches, Hogan and Savage going around the country, the Blade Runner versus the LOD headlining another one, the Horseman versus Dusty and his crew headlining another one, and I don't know, Al Perez and Mr. Perfect headlining something, Rick Rude, anything.
Just so much talent here. And sadly, so much talent we're talking about here who are no longer with us.
God, I was just thinking that. I mean, you look, Savage is gone. Hawk's gone. Warrior's gone. Fortunately, all the Horsemen are gone.
Andre.
Andre's gone. Dusty's gone.
Rick.
Rick Rude's gone. Al Perez is gone. Big Boss
Man.
Al
Perez died.
Mm-hmm. I think he did, yeah.
Mr. Perfect.
Steve Williams is gone. Man, both of the British Bulldogs, one of the Fantastics.
Big Boss Man.
Yes, that's Gilbert. Bam Bam. I mean, Harley's that's awful. Harley's still with us. So many of these guys are gone, way too young.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been – so we've got – let me – so – take a few minutes, Mark, and what if? We haven't even gotten into the what if. We booked it.
Uh-huh.
What if Vince steps in, he buys Crockett. Is Crockett still on TBS? Mm-hmm. How does that change in 88, close to 30 years ago, if this happens, where's wrestling today?
Right where it's at, with WWE being the only company that's
isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
I agree. I mean,
it's right where it's at. Maybe some of the landscape looks a little different. I mean,
yeah.
If Vince McMahon was going to do it Vince McMahon's way,
yeah.
I don't think anything changes.
Say what you will about Vince McMahon. Okay, we actually did a show how he got a monopoly. And here's the thing is, we have gone back. It doesn't matter how you do the what if scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what happened.
Until
at the end of the day, Vince McMahon owns everything.
It doesn't matter until we do what if Hulk Hogan had stayed in the AWA.
All right, see, I'm gonna disagree. Well, we're gonna do a show.
We're not doing that show right now. So.
I think another possibility of what if, we mentioned it on, if Hogan hadn't signed with WCW, perhaps they're still profitable in 2001, and Eric Bischoff and his company can buy them and get them on another station. I think that was a possibility. But other than that, and I think part of that is...
But I don't
just
think
Vince
they,
had the
and I
vision.
Know we talked about it last time, but I don't know that they became profitable because Hulk Hogan came along. Maybe I think Hulk Hogan might have just delayed what was going to happen.
Right. No, I agree. just a lot of great.
Well, I reckon we done.
You know, we didn't get to do this the last show. You can go to DoubleDropKick.com. You can download us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn Radio app. We got a Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. We talk about all sorts of things. And we're trying to get, you know, as we talk about topics, you know, we're really trying to do more shows like this. We're really trying to talk about more about the wrestling we grew up with. We're just talking about possibilities. I love these what if shows because you can go. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong. It's just speculating.
It's just two guys giving you our opinion on this. And it's hard booking because, I mean, there's certain guys we like more than others, but sometimes you got to put that aside and put it on the best card.
Yeah, who I like doesn't have anything to do with booking a card.
It's all about who making money.
Right.
So, we're on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
So send us a tweet and
hashtag Heath's a bigot.
That is not a hashtag. That is not a.
It's gonna be.
Oh my word of goodness! Oh my goodness! That's funny. That's funny. So, listen,
I want to tell them about the conversation where you said to me, we have two different definitions of what a bigot is.
And
I said, yeah, your definition is you twisting around what it means so that you're not one. And my definition is the actual definition of what a bigot is.
Listen, I would pretty much say every person on the planet, like, is there anything worse than being called a bigot?
There's not much worse. No. I mean, that's awful. It's such an awful thing.
So you're gonna you're always gonna try to position yourself.
Yeah. Wait, me a bigot? No, sir. Now don't take it easy throwing them words around.
There's nothing funny about bigotry.
No, there's not.
So anyway. Tell a friend about this show. Maybe you're listening for the first time, and there are a ton of wrestling podcasts out there.
Tell him that Heath's not really a bigot.
Thank you.
Sure you tell him he's got like three black friends.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I think just the fact that I am here with you, doing the show with you, proves that I'm not a big.
Yeah, I don't think hating like other fat white guys is the definition of what a bigot is. I mean, you're just like me. I hang out with you.
Oh my goodness! So, there's no other wrestling podcasts like this. We're not the, you know, they're just not, and that might be a good thing.
Yeah, probably so.
So forget all the hashtags that Mark told you. Go to DoubleDropKick.com. There's banners there. Click on those banners. Hit that download button. And always join us back here for a new episode every single Monday.
When he feels like uploading them.
Which is every Monday. As always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.